B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985, the telephone number.
Today's a Wednesday. See, I hear this.
And you start thinking
Thursday? I started
Thursday?
To think Thursday because of the Phil Collins thing. I think this sort of creates confusion for people and our listeners. To the point where, okay, we got Josie on Friday. We got Easy Lover on Thursday at noon. Kind of feeling like Wednesday should be like maybe a YMCA noon thing. Hump day, get excited, YMCA, or I don't know. I don't know. Do you have a recommendation?
No. Well, you just sprung this on us in the matter of the last 10 seconds.
I didn't think about it till I just put my headphones on. I put my headphones on, and I thought, wait, it's not Thursday. I'm like, wait, that's not Easy Lover. Like, Easy Lover's its own thing. Yeah. What do you think, Murray?
I like Easy Lover.
Yep. Well, we know that. That's Thursday, correct?
I don't know. We can do George Michael. Throw him in.
Freedom 90.
We can do Freedom. We can do Faith. That. We can drop a...
Nope. I can do that one.
Careless Whisper?
No, it's too slow. You need like R.E.M. It starts with an earthquake. I'm not afraid of an enemy. Yeah. Something like that.
All right, tell me about the quarterback from BYU. I know you've been talking about this for weeks, if not months, Mari. This is your guy? Are you hitching your wagon to him?
Yeah, I'm hitching my wagon as I think he's after Trevor Lawrence. I think he's the guy. Now, Justin Fields, just to throw this at you, Zoe, he started at Georgia and then went to Ohio State.
I know that.
At Georgia, he was a player. He transferred in. So, like, he might not be your typical Troy Smith, that type of quarterback, Haskins, whatever. I think he's got a little bit of different element to him. So, I think he's a legit prospect.
Isn't it something that Joe Burrow was at Ohio State?
Yeah. Hanfield, yeah.
Ohio kid, went to Ohio State. It's not going to work here. I'm going to go to LSU and light it up.
Yeah. Jacob Eason's another guy that was there as well. And
there's something about Ohio State quarterbacks I don't trust. I don't know what it is.
Is it Tom Tupa? I don't know. Maybe he had a bad experience.
No, Tupa could throw.
Yeah. Just saying.
So you know why you don't trust them? Troy Smith, Braxton Miller, Dwayne Haskins, Craig Krenzel.
Yep.
I mean, they don't have any Terrell Pryor.
Yep. So Mike Tomczak?
Tomczak.
Yeah. JT Barrett, Joe Germain, Cardale Jones.
Oh, my God. The JT Barrett one was the one that drove me nuts. Like, the kid never lost. I'm like, okay, yeah. T. Martin never lost.
I thought Cardale Jones, XFL, right? I thought he was decent.
Oh, my God. When he came out, he was like 37, like a 37-year-old man, 270 pounds.
Bobby Hoying, Kent Graham, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah. But think about BYU quarterbacks, right? You go all the way. I mean, Ty Detmer is probably the last one.
Steve
and then
Young,
and Taysom Hill. He was really good. I think Zach Wilson's legit. He's 6'3", 210. He can move. He made a comparison to Patrick Mahomes. He does not have the arm strength. The closest I've seen to Mahomes is the kid DJ from Clemson. You see his arm strength?
Yeah.
That kid's going to be the number
He's
one
only
pick
18,
in two
Chief.
2 years, that kid's the number one pick by far.
Another Simone, right?
Yeah, another one there. They call him, Big Cinco, I think they call him.
Yeah, how about his dad? His dad was like a professional bodyguard.
Yep. But Zach Wilson, he can throw. I don't want to use the Brett Favre term, but he's got that type of, he's not afraid to throw.
How big is he?
He's 6'3", 210. But he can move. And he's very, very dangerous in the red zone. This year, his stats, 21 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Yeah. You know, also 6'3", 210, Beetle? Josh Rosen. He was 6'3", 210. Yeesh.
Don't want to draft a Josh Rosen.
I got to be careful. And this is the thing with the college game, because I get enamored with these kids. When I see a kid play as a true freshman or 18, like, I focus. I'm like, holy crap, this kid's just fresh out of high school. And he's throwing dimes for USC. And that's when I fell in love with Sam Darnold. Darnold came out. I like watched him a ton when he's in college. Same thing with Rosen at UCLA. And I'm like, this kid's going to be freaking good. He can spin it. And guys just never work out.
Yeah, and listen, it might not even be this year. Like, I think Keaton Slovis from USC, you mentioned him. I think that's another kid in 2 years. You know, could be right up there. And
I heard people trying to talk me up with the Ian Book.
Oh, no. No. Out.
No.
Out, out,
no,
out,
no,
out.
No, no,
if you're
going to
fumble going in on your goal line, I'm out on you.
No Notre Dame quarterback. No.
And they are stacked.
No.
Like, they have a good running back, good defense.
That's what they're telling me. Same thing with the receivers. No. No. Claypool. Claypool helped him.
Yeah.
Give me that.
And they got a big kid named Mike Mayer right now that's a big tight end. They call him Baby Girl.
Book. Book it. No.
But Kyle Trask is someone to watch. This he struggles early on, and then late in games, he really – watch him. He struggles early, and then he figures it out third, fourth drive of the game. But again, a Florida quarterback, it's his first – literally his
first year. Yeah, but he's from Texas. I mean, he grew up right down the street from Texas A&M. That's Trask Stadium down there. That's pretty neat.
And one thing about Mac Jones, I'll say this.
It's good college talk.
He's a big dude. Like, this guy can throw. I haven't seen – there's no faults with the kid because he has so many great athletes around him.
It's my girlfriend's boyfriend's no, not my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend?
It's my daughter's boyfriend's best friend. He played ahead of him at Bowles High School down in Jacksonville.
But, like, I haven't seen him make a mistake. He doesn't take sacks when he should. He doesn't throw when he shouldn't. He just seems like a dude that makes right plays. But he has had loaded – talent at wide receiver the last 2 years.
Oh, you think?
That's what I mean. If he comes to the Patriots, it's probably not a good fit for him, right?
Yeah, that's what you got to be careful of. These guys that have, you know, the Ohio State, the Florida, the Alabama systems where you're running verticals and guys are wide ass open running 4-4, 4-3. Doesn't mean you're a good quarterback.
But to your guys' point.
Could chuck one out there.
But to your guys' point, they don't have to tank to get a quarterback. And I do want Bill Belichick to be the guy to identify who that next quarterback is.
I agree with
Whether it's Ben Garoppolo or Brissett, who knows? Stidham, they just kind of gave up on the kid. But I do want Belichick to be that guy. And I think
did they or did Stidham do something?
I don't know. What do you guys
know? It seems
like
they were in on Stidham.
Yeah, what happened there?
I don't know.
We'll get to more on that. Right. We definitely will get to more on that. I have a little something that we should play.
It
follows up on something we were talking about a couple of days ago. All right?
Okay.
Hold your horses on that one. Let's go to the phones as promised, though. I do want to talk to Sean in Dorchester, who's got a thought. It says here, BYU QB. Sean.
Hey, yeah. So hey. I agree with Joe. I really like Zach Wilson. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Manziel or Baker Mayfield, and I'm pretty sure there were rumors that Belichick liked Mayfield, and we know Belichick liked Manziel. He's of that ilk. He moves around.
Manziel.
He can throw the ball. He can scramble. And I see him as a very similar guy. And if Belichick liked Mayfield and Manziel, he might like Wilson.
Okay, we got to stop saying Manziel.
Manziel was way better
Johnny
than Zach
Manziel.
Wilson.
Can't do it.
Johnny Manziel. And again, Baker Mayfield.
Sorry, Manziel to me was one of the best college players of all.
Game he played at against Alabama was one of the best ones I've seen in college. Loved it. Loved everything.
Would have liked to have known what he would have been as a professional quarterback if he didn't, you know, have all his own issues.
Would have loved to know if he didn't have the upbringing he had to where he didn't have to worry about anything.
Oh,
he had everything at his disposal.
Spoiled brat growing up.
That's the Rosen part. Rosen's the same way. Spoiled brats. And give me the guy that's got a scratch and claw to do everything because I'm the undersized guy that plays.
Manziel's family was oil, right? Big oil family?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least he's not hurting for cash these days.
How many games he play hammered?
I don't know. The other thing with Wilson, guys, is I do want to see if they can play a better team. Like, they're going to blow through their schedule this year. I think they're a New Year's Six team, but they might have... They might have a chance to get into the college
playoffs. What are you out on?
No wristbands.
No wristbands. You're out on him because he doesn't wear wristbands?
He wears a headband.
Worse. I don't want to give it a headband.
What's your issue with no wristband?
Where's his towel? What's his wristband?
He has a muff.
Look at it. He's got the plays on the belt.
Not this kid.
His face kind of looks like your son.
He does.
He looks like Brody.
Oh, my God. He looks like your child.
You know what he looks like? He looks like Johnny from Cobra Kai.
Are you sure he's not your kid?
Dude, he does look like Zoe's kid.
He looks like Brody.
They call Brody. Tell him to turn TV on. Wow. You know, we had to call our friends because we didn't know we didn't have school today. Brody said, we don't have school today. I'm like, you have remote learning. No, I don't. I'm going calls friends' moms. School, so no Veterans Day.
This Saturday, 3 o'clock, though, or next week, they play North Alabama.
Jimmy actually looks like
sorry,
your
North
kid.
Alabama.
They'll play. They play San Diego State next week. Is a very good defense.
North Alabama. Okay, not Alabama.
In 2 weeks.
North Alabama.
That's right. North Alabama. Wait a
minute. I might pick that game.
You just said they're going to play San Diego
they don't
State.
Let you do
they have
it
a
anymore.
Very good defense.
They do.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this.
He's got a little Josh Allen.
I like this. I like talking to Joe about these things because it gives me things to watch in college football.
I'm out on this kid now, I think.
Oh, stop.
No way.
You're being absurd. You're being absolutely absurd.
He wants to yell at him for some reason.
Something that Tommy Curran had on NBC Sports Boston related to Jarrett Stidham.
Oh.
We'll have that for you coming up on the other side. You probably want to have a listen to it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
From what I'm gathering, Drapes, Trenny, Phil, the Patriots don't feel very good about Jarrett Stidham from really July on. The things that have gone on with him in terms of the absence of things that have gone on with him. No compete in terms of trying to win that job away from Cam Newton. And I think that that is a big strike against him. And I think that's something that the Patriots, if you see him out there, would be tantamount to them saying, what are we going to do?
That was Tommy Curran on Monday night on NBC Sports Boston before the game had been played. And they were having similar conversations that we were having on Monday about the future of the position. And not long-term, but short-term. This season, what if Cam had gone out and played poorly on Monday night against the New York Jets? Yeah. And Tommy Curran drops that in there. I'd said something similar on Monday, but, you know, Tommy Curran's got way more credibility. And that is, yeah, I sense the Patriots are sort of out on this guy and have been since the summer months.
All right, I'm not comparing a kid to Brady, but I've talked to some people, and they've been around Tom, and at the beginning Tom wanted it and wanted it real bad, and then when you started to taste it, to the point, and Brady said that too, like, hey, who's the tight end he lived with from Michigan, what the hell's his name, Jim?
Aaron Shea,
and he told the story about Bledsoe's never getting his job back, like the swagger of it. They wanted him to have sort of that same type of swagger. Jimmy, when he entered the building, did a lot of things the same way Tom did them when he first entered it, too. And Jimmy never really became tight with Tom. And it felt like Jimmy wanted the opportunity also, but was going to get in to push Tom, and that was great for the organization. Great for Tom's career, great for Jimmy's career. Jimmy made money, and Jimmy took a team to the Super Bowl. That's great.
Three Super Bowls, according to Joe.
By the end of the show.
He's been there three times.
By the end of the show, Joe's going to have some sort of a relationship attachment to him where it'll be four by the end of the show.
Did you read the ESPN.com piece about Belichick's
the
lost
2000
year?
Season?
It mentioned Brady in that piece about how he used to take, during his rookie year, when he didn't get reps in practice, he would stay after practice, get all the rookies and all the first-year guys, and rep what they just did in practice with him getting the reps at quarterback and the other guys getting, like, on his own after practice, would make people stay out there to get those reps in on his own.
See, now, nobody has said this and termed it that way, but from what I take from all the comments regarding Stidham is that there's a sort of, it's passive-aggressive. I don't know. He's a little passive with everything. Just the approach to everything. And when you're going to be the guy, and you've got to be the guy, and you've got to be the guy following the guy, you need a guy that's going to take about freaking horns. I think that's part of the draw of why they had to go get a guy like Cam, because at least you get a guy with a little bit of swagger in here. You need a little shot in the arm for the offense. It didn't feel like Jared's giving the guys a shot in the arm for the offense. You need some energy on offense. You need some leadership capabilities. And that might come down the road with him, and he just flat out might not be ready yet. But I think they've stood back, watched, and wanted him to take it. It just hasn't been taken, and there's sort of a contentness there that I'm okay doing what I'm doing. There's a lot of guys that come in this league and they'll be gone in 3 years because you're a backup or a third guy. Or
here's some of that story. Good reference there, Jim. I did read this the other day, sort of a verbal history, as they call them, right?
Oral history.
Oral history, verbal history. Yeah, like you know what I mean.
History.
Seriously. Ty Law said
oral history. Go ahead.
He said the thing with Brady from day one, this is Ty Law talking about Brady. He came in and he put the work in. Everyone knows who the first one was in the building. That was me. I would go run at 6:30 every morning.
With a sweatsuit on.
4 to 5 miles down the road before practice. And when I was coming in, guess who else was coming in? The second or third guy, there's Brady. But at the end of the day, I was going home, and Brady stayed. He had that drive and fire and competitiveness. And then Brad Seeley, right? Brad Seeley's in the story, and he said, Brady was always the guy we had to yell at on the field. Come on, we're having a meeting. You're going to be late. Because he always wanted to stay out there on the practice field and do extra. He was self-made from that rookie year to what he's become. You would say that's not the same player.
I remember driving down Route 1, and I would pass two guys in full, thick champion sweatsuits running. It was Ty Law and Otis Smith. This is like early morning because we're going in early for quarterback meetings. Like, where the hell are they coming from?
And this is the part.
They would run on Route 1?
Run on Route 1.
Here's the quote.
On the back road or something. Though.
Yeah, right? Like North Street or something.
You get that hill right past Bass Pro. It was right past Bass Pro. Like, that hill. I think they're going there to run the hill. You go down to the end zone, you come back up. It's pretty good training hill.
Charlie Weiss said this. One of the things he liked to do as the year went on, this is year 2000 Brady, after practice he would get the guys that were at his status and would go back and rehash the script of the day. It was very interesting to watch because even though he wasn't getting ready to play in our eyes, he was getting ready to play in his eyes. He was treating it like an opportunity to get reps with guys that were kind of in a similar status as him. Get the young guys, get the bottom of the roster guys, practice squad guys, sixth and seventh round picks, man. Let's go do some work.
I could just imagine.
I'm the scout team guy right now, but I'm going to take what they did for the guys who actually are playing, and we're all going to do that by ourselves.
You know what?
So that we can be ready to play.
And I've been around those guys, too.
And you think Stidham's doing that?
No. And I think some of those guys that I've been around, too, the walk-ons in college, we used to call them high school Harrys. They were the ones that would stay out later. And I just wonder how many guys, like, even
you
the
weren't linemen, a stay-out-later guy? You never wanted
to? Oh, no, I stayed out through the receivers. Absolutely. I never left the building. And
you and Troy, right?
That's what Parcells love. He goes, you know what you are? You're a freaking gym rat. And that's why you're going to make it here. And that's why you're going to be around, because I like guys that want to be here. I eat lunch there. I eat breakfast there. I eat dinner there. I would leave the facility, go get food, come back, and just hang around in the weight room, watch guys lift weights. Not that I like watching guys lift weights. I love being around. And coaches want guys that want to be in the building. Like, they don't want the first ones running out of the building. Shut up. But I'm sure there was a certain...
I didn't lift weights. I just watched guys lift weights.
I'm sure there was a certain... Oh, I lifted weights, dude. I was on Andrew and all that, man. We pumped up. I used to have guys
Andrew
on my...
Andrew was great.
I would have... I played with this guy from Michigan. What the freak was his name? He was a free agent or late round pick. David... Oh, God, he's a DB. And he showed...
What year?
It was my year, 92. So I was drafted in our draft. He was drafted in our draft. Seventh round. I think it was a seventh round pick. Coach was the fifth rounder. Defensive back from Michigan. John Vaughn, we've got him in the fourth round.
We'll find him.
Yeah. Oh, we'll find him. But I said I want to blow my chest up.
David Poole?
Nope, not David Poole.
Probably maybe been
free
David?
Agent. Yeah, I think so. Keep going. Michigan, right. Michigan.
All right.
Doesn't matter. But I said I'm gonna blow it up. And he would lay on my back and I would do push ups and then I'd lay on his back, and he'd do push ups, and we just did that after we lifted. Like things like that, just being around. But I'm sure there were some linemen that gave a bunch of eye rolls to Brady when he did that too. Like, here I am, scout team guy, get through practice, taped up. Now you wanna be out here and go through the entire freaking practice script again? Easy high school Harry.
Yeah, then he used to take him out drinking though after. They hit the bars in Providence and nobody would know who the hell they were.
David Key is the guy.
Bingo. Yep. Key was a badass. Yeah. David Key.
Lasted one season in the NFL.
Oh, he could lift, though. He did dips, man. I mean, it was great.
David Key.
because he had this massive chest and arms. I said, I want that. Give me that. He said, you take this, and we do these. I'm like, all right, I'm in. Shoot me up. I didn't shoot anything up. Just pop it.
Protein shakes.
What do I drink now? What do I drink now? Yes.
Various protein shakes.
Yep.
Yeah, so
and then he's like, all you gotta
I just
do
think that the team sees something there with Stidham that, or they see a lack of something that they're just out on him. They're done. I think they're done with him.
There's an acceptance and ease with the rank that he's been given. Contentness. Content. Happy.
Content.
Don't be happy. Don't be happy. What more?
617-779-0985. Alex Cora back as Red Sox manager.
We heard that.
We had the start of the press conference on our show yesterday.
Good press conference. A lot of hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, a little
Is
more.
Is he sorry for it?
You know, I didn't think the questions were a problem at all, actually. I thought there were good questions asked that he didn't want to answer.
Right.
Crappy answers, or lack thereof. Real answers with substance. They didn't exist.
Are we going to do this where, you remember when Houston got busted and all that, and they had the three players come up, and they read their statements, and then they all moved on, and they're not going to talk about the past?
Let's get to it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Pete. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Alex Cora with his press conference yesterday at Fenway Park. I got to say, the visual was nice putting it on the field. They got good weather. Typically, you don't have that in November, but we got a great...
I heard the birds.
Great warm weather here this week, so good for them to take advantage of it. I know that ownership wasn't there. I know that's caught the attention of plenty of people, including us, that ownership is not going to have much to say on this.
It's a bad look.
But I honestly thought there were like too many people up there. You could have given me just Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora.
That's fine.
I would have been just fine with that. Did Brian O'Halloran? I didn't see any.
I caught midstream and I was looking over, going, "Who's that?
Did BOH talk?"
I didn't like the BOH stuff.
That's what they call him.
Yeah,
they call him BOH.
Well, when you're just a number guy and your number, you just get tagged with a letter, BOH.
Jason Mastrodonato, I think, has the best maybe. Right up on this from yesterday. And the Herald today on Alex Cora talking about some of his answers, and one of them stood out to us. And that was his answer when he was asked about, did he know that things were wrong when he was doing them in 2017 as the Astros bench coach? Did he feel it was wrong at the time? Huh. Or did he only feel that it was wrong in getting caught and being disciplined publicly to sort of come to the understanding of how absurd his actions were in Houston? And this is the answer that he gave. I mean, I just thought that this was a total cop-out.
Honestly, I can only speak how I felt this year. You know, I don't want to get into details about what happened in 17, but it's a tough lesson. You know, I you know, like I said, all I can do right now is apologize and get better and move forward. I'm not proud of what happened. I said it a few times already today. I did say it during the summer. One of the things that you do as a leader, right, is to put these guys in situations to be successful. And the way, you know, I did it, we did it with that group over there, it wasn't the right way. And for that, you know, I'm going to say it today. I'm going to say it tomorrow. I'm going to say it the rest of my life. For that, I'm sorry.
Great. Wonderful. You're sorry. Why don't you actually talk about what happened there in 2017? And as Master Donato wrote in the Herald today, a point I completely agree with. He says, usually those who have made a mistake don't get to decide when it's time to move forward. Rather, it's those on the receiving end of that mistake. Fans, employees, anyone who did play against the Astros in 2017, etc. You know, the Dodgers in 2017, any other team that played against them that was sort of wronged,
yeah.
The relief pitcher who got blown up and, you know, never got another gig in Major League Baseball because he got destroyed by the guys banging on trash cans at the dugout. I mean, there's a case to be made that Alex Cora and his actions ruined at least one major leaguer's career.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Look at the Astros.
Oh, but he wants to move forward.
Look at the Astros, too, and how they're still getting, like, heckled and thrown at. Like, because, okay, we're supposed to take your written statement and then everybody's just supposed to move on. No, people want retribution. They want answers. They want convicted cheaters to have to pay.
Are you sure about that?
About what?
I don't care. I think there's a lot of people who don't care.
Oh, I would agree with that. I don't care either. I think there's a lot of people that don't care.
Then this season was so bad. People are like, just bring Alex Cora back, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. I don't think people want all those answers.
Oh, I don't care about the cheating either. But like, if you're going to, there's a stink to bringing somebody back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
when you fire somebody and you move away, you know what? It's not working. We need to separate.
Yeah, but like you mentioned the stink. Like, isn't that the Red Sox in general? Like, there's a stink here.
Well, if you want that hanging around your team, yeah.
Who cares if they win games and they're a better team and they're not at the bottom of the... I mean, listen, if they're either the worst team or the best team. So if there's a stink on them and they're the best team, no one's going to care.
A few questions after that question, Cora was asked about what stopped him from, as Master Donato wrote, taking the trash can banging scheme from the 17 Astros to the 2018 Red Sox. Here's the answer on that.
I didn't feel like we needed to do something like that, honestly. You know, I know people will not believe me in that sense. You know, why not bring it here? So it was that effective. I don't know, man. I just decided, you know, in that off season to... I don't know, not bring it here. We had some conversations actually in spring training about a lot of stuff, you know, from BOH to Dave to the people that was around to MLB. I think at that point people were starting to talk about what, you know, what was going on around the league. And, you know, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. But all of a sudden, you know, there's a article out there and, you know, there's a guy out there that decided to take a step and say what happened over there, and I pay the price. You know, the way I can put it, John, is like, I decided, no, we don't need to do that. The organization was very loud and clear about the whole sign-stealing stuff and, you know, what happened before with the organization and other organizations, and they walked me through it. And in the meetings in spring training with MLB, you know, when I talked to them, it was like, wow, you know, I better not even try to do something like that.
He was afraid of getting caught.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Well, we talked about it. We sort of saw where the league was going.
Hey, the rumblings
and
are starting.
I didn't want
to
get it. I said, damn it. I don't know if we'll be able to pull this off anymore. Also,
He said it ain't worth it.
Yeah.
So that means he was thinking about it.
He sounds a little pissed that Mike Fiers brought this thing to public light.
Yeah.
He's bringing up the story. Oh, you know, they wrote this article.
Yeah, an article.
And I paid the price.
An article got me.
Oh, it's
Drellick's fault.
I pay the price because someone was unhappy with me sort of, you know, really hitting at the basic integrity of the sport and a pitcher throwing a pitch and the batter being alerted as the pitch was being thrown, what was coming. And so, again, I would go back to this Herald story today. As it says here, it's not because he learned his lesson. It's not because cheating that way was wrong. It's not because he soiled the integrity of the game. Instead, he chose not to cheat as extensively in Boston in 2018 because he thought the risk was not worth the reward. Jason Master Donato writes, it was a bit too cavalier for a manager that acknowledged he won't get a second chance if he gets caught cheating again. I would agree. That answer was absurd. Oh, some guy writes a story. I pay the price. I saw where the league was going in 18. Did he have a meeting with Dombrowski? That's sort of what he described.
Oh, he talked to BOH and Dave.
BOH and Dave. Well, let's ask BOH since he's out here. I don't know what else he's doing out here on this panel.
He looked uncomfortable.
What was that meeting like in 18 when you talked about banging trash cans?
That doesn't sound right.
That wasn't that bad. You know, like, what was going on there? So you know why the Red Sox brought Alex Cora back into the fold? Because they knew exactly what he was doing in Houston in 2017. They may have even had a discussion about whether or not to continue it in 2018. They still had some bull crap going on in 2018 with JT Watkins, who, by the way, is back with your Boston Red Sox. They are a land of second chances. That is what they do at Fenway Park.
Like
they are all about rehabilitation and second chances. In a span of 24 hours, the Red Sox have welcomed back in the center, the point man on the scandal in 17 with the Astros, and the guy who is their rogue employee who is the center of their cheating scandal and their punishment for Major League Baseball. All of that happened in a 24-hour span. So they don't care. They're signaling, we don't really care. We got bagged, and we don't care. Wonderful.
Absolutely. This team wonderful. Needs a little edge.
Yeah, yes, they have it.
You got a little edge now.
And you know what? Their 2018 World Series, I think, takes a hit. It takes a hit. It's not, you know, wiped out or anything like that, but you just look at it differently.
Nice.
And J.D. Martinez, you look at him differently because apparently he's going to be back. Joe, hold the thought.
Go ahead.
We're going to get to Joe's thought and J.D. Martinez. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
When it comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak, Ember, Trent, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Uh, 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Patriot center David Andrews coming up momentarily. Joe, I know you got a thought on the Red Sox.
Yeah, I just think that this whole Alex Cora move is for people to talk about the Red Sox. I don't think anybody wants to. I don't think there's anything to say about the Red Sox.
Mission accomplished. They've got us talking about them.
So that's one thing. And then when it comes to J.D. Martinez, he complained so much last year about that video room. Is that thing open now?
Well, J.T. Watkins is back, and I'm sure Cora has been, you know, spending his off time looking all into all the latest technologies to cheat. So I'm sure they're going to implement something great. Here, listen to this. Alex Cora spoke with J.D. Martinez, and Alex Cora says, quote, "I think he'll be back to normal in 2021. That's a quote. Oh, why? Why so much confidence there?
All the
Skipper.
Nooks and crannies in the wall out there, they're going to be able to craft something.
Sure.
The ballpark's so unique.
Here's what Cora said. I read
somebody
it.
Sitting out there in the wall looking through those little slats where they put the numbers on the scoreboard. Oh, it's a curveball.
He says, I read it. I read the stuff about the video stuff. I think is with his work ethic and what he does on a daily basis, he was just put in a bad spot physically to attack pitches. Which is bullcrap. He says, pitch recognition wasn't there. Yeah, my system was not in place.
Mm-hmm.
He says, that wasn't JD. We talked a few days ago. He's very excited for me to get back, and I've got a few things for him. Oh my God, this is so insane.
I got a few things for you.
We're going to download the updates to the apps, and we're good, guys.
That's like you to Burt Brick. I got something for you there, right? If you need it, bud.
Right, exactly. Oh, I got a few things for him. I got a few tricks up my sleeve. We're going to get JD right back on track.
Hey, just one last thing about that. People always worried about the JD Martinez opt-out. The one I'd be concerned about.
What are you worried about? I've been rooting for it for years.
Well, no, I mean, they need him back. They do. But the opt-out to worry about Xander Bogaerts. Like, that's a guy that can opt out in 1 year. He could be gone. You know, last year, maybe he was on the table. And the other thing is, you probably need to lock up Devers at some point. And, you know, maybe he's got this great relationship with Latin players. So maybe that's just another reason to have Alex Cora.
Listen, the Red Sox got the best out of Devers with Cora. And so I'm hoping for that to be the case. And if Alex Cora's presence is what convinces Xander Bogaerts to sign a new deal with the Red Sox sometime in the next, let's say, calendar year, right? Well, what are we at? No, it'd be earlier than this. Yeah, it's November. Whatever. Sometime this season where he decides I'm not opting out, I'm signing an extension, then I will say, fine, I'll accept Alex Cora and his cheating ways if it means I get to keep Xander Bogaerts. I can be bought. I can. My takes can be bought. It can be bought in the form of Xander Bogaerts getting signed up long term. All right? Let's get to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Zoe. It's time to take a looky over there. David Andrews, Patriot Center, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. David Andrews with us now. What's going on?
What's up, guys?
Hey, congrats on the win. How's it feel?
Feels good, man. We needed that one. So, you know, just start stringing them together here, and you all start today with a good day of practice.
Does just having a win change sort of everybody's outlook and attitude when you get back to work for the following week? It's got to be easier to come back to work after that, right?
Yeah, it's definitely easier to come back after a win, you know. But, you know, you still got to, we need to keep our attention to detail here. You know, we've started to get in a little rhythm here, and I'm a big believer that that all starts, at practice. We've started to, have practices more and have better practices. So, keep building here.
You guys really feel that, don't you? I mean, coaches talked multiple times about it, but, kind of got stuck there for a while. I know you were out for a good 3 weeks with the hand, but stringing practices is critical for this type of team that you have assembled this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think for a lot of teams, I can't remember my 6 years here that, not being able to be in the building or whatever it may be, for those times when we did. So that's never easy, so just got to stay healthy now and, keep pushing forward here.
I haven't asked any of the players that we've had on, going back to Steph. We had Joe on a couple times, but what's the hardest thing about the Zooms? Like when you guys are remote, and you're so used to whether, it's the two guys coaching you guys up or coach, trying to come after you, to stop a drill. Is that the hardest thing that you miss the hands-on, one-on-one corrections throughout the course of practices?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's there's a lot of communication that goes on, coach might say something, maybe not in a team meeting, but positional groups or offense meeting, they might say something and then it might be communication between me and Cam or me and Joe, me and Shaq, and you really can't do that on the Zoom meeting, there was obviously we had to do what we had to do, but, this game is just, it's hard just to go out there and just show up for this game.
Yeah.
There's so much that goes into it. I think in the classroom that sometimes people don't understand and, the classroom has such interaction between each other is not really like a lesson in college or something like from a professor. We're all talking, trying to work together and solve the problems.
We're talking with David Andrews, who's with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. What do you got on your hands this week in Baltimore?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to be a physical game. They're a physical team. Good front, do a lot of different things that can challenge you. It's going to be a big challenge, but looking forward to it. Thought we had a good game last week, came out, played physical. So, another challenge this week.
They don't have guys like, obviously in Lodi Nata over the years, they've always had that sort of that anchor in the middle. They're not a real sexy defense. They don't fool you. They just pretty much line up and say, we're going to try and kick your ass, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's going to be a challenge for us and, they can, got to play the game how we want to play it. I think we've kind of done that the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Try to stay ahead on down and distance, kind of you let them get into third and long. They're able to do more and more. But, play the game ahead, be the most physical team.
Time to get Dirty Dave. Get Dirty Dave going again. Cam got the reference out again this week.
Yeah, Dirty Dave, man.
Hey, would you guys nickname the new kid, Big Mike Owenu?
I forget what he calls Big Mike. We always just call him Big Mike.
Big Mike from like the Blind Side.
That's
then.
Good news. Yeah. All right, Big Mike.
All right.
That's just Big Mike.
That's just Big Mike. Just Big Mike. Yep. That's all it is. Do us a favor. Go on over to Nick Folk this week and let him know that he has now won AFC Special Teams Player of the Week three times now, which is two more times than Zoe ever won AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Wow. All right? Go for it.
Let him know.
What's Folk weighing right now?
I don't know, man. He hasn't missed any
meals during COVID, man. You know, like some guys have, like, hey,
you gotta drive the football, so you gotta drive that.
Yeah,
thing.
Get that foot in there.
Put that weight behind it.
That's right.
Well, I haven't missed any meals either, so I can't say nothing.
All right, Dave. Appreciate it. Hey, good luck against these Ravens, man. Go get them.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, see you, bud.
Dave Andrews joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Big Mike.
Big Mike is just Big Mike.
It's like Big Joe.
Big Mike. Sort of just works.
Would you be Big Zoe?
Just so. Yeah, three times he's won AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
It's a lot. I mean, he's had a long career. Yeah.
I think the other two times were in 2013.
Were you wondering who was going to make that kick at the end of the game there?
Oh, God, yeah. It's 51-yarder, right?
No, yeah.
That's not a gimme.
Well, he had the bad back, right?
Yeah, cranky back.
Hamstring or whatever.
Jim McBride said it was a cranky back.
I was thinking Bailey, maybe. Because he was warming up as well.
That would have been ballsy if they had used Folk all game and then they swap him out. That would have been a great second guess for us.
Do you know how happy I was that game didn't go to overtime? I'm glad they won. But when they tied it up, I was so rooting for them to go for two. Just win that thing. Let's get the hell out of there.
I was trying to lie. I was looking for a tie. I was like, all right, how could this really be bad?
No, that's how it would be worse. A tie game against that team, another 15 minutes, yes.
Yeah, that's how it'd be worse. Murray, double loss.
Double loss is what he says. 617-779-0985. We'll get some open phone lines if you want to jump on board. The 1 o'clock hour is here. We've been talking about quarterbacks today. We've been talking about some college football players, the Patriots' current state of affairs, and of course the Red Sox rehiring Alex Cora and all of his cheating ways coming back.
Two cheaters
Boston.
Now. All right.
They're going to sort out the issues there and put things right back in line. Also, some NHL news today and how it may impact the Bruins. Why don't we touch on that coming up right after headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.